Welcome to DanielLovett.com. At first I was wondering where I was going to host this little podcast about the moon landing or lack thereof. I decided it didn't fit on my main talk radio show, Sozo Talk Radio, which is really dedicated to unpacking the salvation, which is what Sozo means in Greek, salvation, that Jesus brings to each one of us. You can check out Sozo Talk Radio for really inspiring interviews, unpacking just all that Jesus is and all that he's done for us. So in this little podcast that you're about to hear, we're discussing Wagging the Moon Doggy, which is a work by Dave McGowan that he did, investigating the claims, did we go to the moon or not? And my guest today, Mark Morrow, is the voice for the audio recording of David McGowan's work. And so he's very well familiar with all the material there and all the arguments of why we didn't actually go to the moon. And it was in hearing this that I became intrigued, and my curiosity was sparked. Of course, I'd heard, you know, rumors of, like, people, you know, this being a conspiracy theory or whatnot. And it led me to do 2 weeks of very thorough research of everything I could possibly find on this subject. It was highly entertaining, just going back and forth, you know, like, okay, we did. No, obviously they can't, you know, they had like 400,000 people involved with this. How could you deceive that many? And all of America too, and the whole world. Nobody could pull off a lie that big, you know. And, you know, I based it off of that. But the reality is that there was only very few that were on a need-to-know basis or very intimately involved in the elements that needed deception. You know, had the astronauts themselves in on it, obviously, and a very small team that were involved in feeding the information to the technicians at their computers. Of course, you had the film crew, which didn't need to be super huge, and the actors or CIA agents playing the astronauts. Of course, I'm not denying the fact that these astronauts went into space. They just remained at low Earth orbit. No higher than 400 miles, because once you get that high, you start scraping the edge of the Van Allen belts, which are high-level radiation that, if you get into it too deep, will make a microwave out of any metallic vessel that comes through it and cooks whatever's in it. No one can survive a trip through the Van Allen belts without lead shielding. And the real reason, the clincher for me, for why I just absolutely do not believe that Americans from the years of 1967 to 72 set foot on the moon, are because, just think about it for a moment, what they're expecting you to believe. It took a huge rocket to get off the surface of this planet, right? To send them into space, to supposedly on the way to the moon. How did they get back off the surface of the moon? What they show you in the video footage is ludicrous. And then they expect you to believe that this ascending, you know, landing pod then rejoins with this another piece of the rocket ship, you know, orbiting the moon at thousands of miles per hour, and they reconnect it to make the trip home. That's the hardest part for me to believe, besides, of course, the Van Allen belts, which high levels of radiation that today's scientists are at NASA are trying to figure out ways to solve this problem. And they admit as much in video interviews. And so it should become quite common knowledge, you know, the fact that NASA is admitting that we never went to the moon. Here's my friend and co-host, Michael Basham, introducing our guest today, Mark Morrow.
Okie-madokie. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome This is Michael Basham, your host on Spirit Wars, with my dear friend and brother and fellow patron in crime, Daniel Lovett. And we had this awesome fantasy of attacking the idea that we went to the moon. And we decided to find our dear brother, Mark Morrow, who puts the final nails in the coffin, so to speak, on the whole theory. And Mark Morrow has an amazing podcast called the Pure Grace Podcast over at Pure Grace website.com, I'm guessing. Wow, we're so prepared. And we're going to also promote the fact that there's a long series of Wagging the Moon Doggy is the title. Basically, the entire body of work, but it is just so doggone professional and so well produced that we thought we would grab and abduct Mark Morrow and bring him to our secret moon base on the dark side of the moon just to interrogate him. So right now, presently, we have him tied up, blindfolded, and we're going to be just demanding questions, answers, what the heck, you know, about the whole thing. We're going to just find out what really went on. So really, really excited and honored to have Mark Morrow on. And we'll be just excited to hear anybody's comments as well. And just it's just going to be a fun time to hang out. So are you guys there? Come in, Star Command.
Yes, sir. We are here.
We are here. We are here.
Well, awesome. Well, great. Am I coming in loud and clear?
Sure are.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Michael.
Oh, it's my great honor. We want to just, first of all, maybe you can introduce your podcast to the audience.
Oh, sure.
Just tell us
sure.
about what is your inspiration behind it and what are your plans for the future with it?
Well, absolutely. Pure Grace Podcast is kind of an outreach, a family outreach of my wife, initially of my wife and myself, where we thought we would just share Bible studies and just various insights into our own personal spiritual growth in Christ and other and interesting information. Hopefully other people will find it interesting as we have along the way as well. It's puregracepodcast.com or .wordpress.com. And it is part of the Fringe Radio Network community, very proudly. And very pleased with the wide array of hosts and content that comes out of that particular network. It is really covers a wide gamut, and it's always interesting. So, that's basically how we started. And along the way, I intended on sharing various bits and pieces of information that I found interesting. And Wagging the Moondoggy is a body of work that was written by just an excellent author and prolific researcher, very down-to-earth individual by the name of David McGowan. And his works are all located over on centerforaninformedamerica.com. And his daughter, Dave, passed away about a year and a half ago, tragically and very sadly. He was he's greatly missed. Again, excellent author, very down-to-earth individual in terms of how he parses out very complex and opinionated and hyped up conspiracy matters and issues, which I used to have a very deep interest in. As life goes on, I kind of faded and moved away and try to intentionally phase out conspiracy as much as possible to avoid any itching ear syndromes and stay focused on the important aspects of life and of scripture. And but certainly there are some things that just grab the eye and the ear, and it's just impossible not to share. And so Wagging the Moondoggy definitely is an interesting take on the whole moon landing thing. Most people approach the whole did we go to the moon issue as in terms of it being a hoax or, you know, truth and lies and things like that, which very much is a factor of it. But Dave's approach to the topic is, you know, a little more down to earth than that, so pardon the pun, but he really obliterates a lot of interesting points in there, and I wish I had a bullet list in front of me. We kind of did this spontaneously, so in the future we can put together something, I'm sure, a little bit more cogent, but today it would be fun to just broach a few of the common issues and just kind of banner around the whole topic in general of, did America go to the moon? Did anybody go to the moon? Has anybody been outside of low Earth orbit? Mm-hmm. The type of things you hear from the scientific community today versus the scientific landscape in 1969 and the political landscape and lots of things come into play that to me have become very relevant issues and again are great if not very entertaining conversational pieces if nothing else. Mm-hmm. So it's basically my background and my interest in this particular topic, and I don't feel too dogmatic about it one way or the other, mm-hmm. but you just run across certain people in life that really strike a chord with you, and Dave's work has done that. Not just the Wagging the Moon Doggy series, but he is an author of several other books that have gained quite a lot of notoriety that are worthy of noting as well. So we might get in. I can mention those later if you like. But Wagging the Moon Doggy definitely lives up to its name.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Mark, the question I wanted to ask you right away was, you had mentioned that Wagging the Moon Doggy was a specifically chosen title because, you know, it was like distracting us from something else, like this whole moon thing was distracting us from something else. Could you get into
that,
elaborate?
I think that Dave intentionally, my opinion is mm-hmm. that Dave intentionally chose that title as he was trying to communicate that this is more than just a surface level conversation based on hoax and debunking and my argument against your argument. His point of view is that there was something hiding. Wagging the Moon Doggy is to, you know, obviously intentionally distract the general populace into another direction while something else is happening, a sleight of hand per se. And again, it's not to serve as a personal indictment against certain personages that might have been it's too late for all of that. But it's not too late for folks to realize that, you know, if this could be done on that level at that time, then what else could be done? And folks that do have a conspiratorial frame of mind and background, those who subscribe to the alternative view of history, mm-hmm. that is, conspiracies do exist. Not that they should be camped on or, you know, be made a priority in life, but there is a lot, you know, the majority of the New Testament is to be not deceived. That's mm-hmm. the message. And we have a responsibility to be as discerning as possible and be willing to accept the truth, whatever it may be. That can be difficult at first for a lot of folks because it's just difficult to let go of the things that we've learned. You know, yeah. I know for myself, I can only speak for myself in that. And, you know, it wasn't easy. There were folks that tried to open my eyes to things before and I wouldn't hear anything of it. I would just make jokes about it and mm-hmm. be like anybody else. But not anymore. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
One of the most fascinating things that I heard you say off air is the fact that you're saying that the moon landings weren't necessarily just hoaxed, but it was to cover something up. Like there was something else going on. I thought that was very fascinating.
Well, not to just give it all away right up front. There's no spoiler alert here. This thing is chock full from beginning to end. But mm-hmm. I think in chapter three or four, I think it's chapter three, Dave mentions the exact length of the Apollo missions ran the precise length of the Vietnam War.
Yes, indeed.
And this, in which was an altercation where real people were dying in large numbers.
Yes.
And every time these reports were crossing airwaves, Americans were actually becoming distressed at what was happening to the Vietnamese villagers. And so it became a habit to, you know, every time something like this happened or something negative comes out, like say a high level Delta Force asset is blowing the whistle on the types of things that they're doing in the CIA's Phoenix program, which basically was the forerunner of the serial killer movement in this country, in the United States. It runs hand in hand with when this actually happened. It was a byproduct, it seems, particularly. Again, another book that Dave has written is called Program to Kill. I highly recommend people going over to centerforinformedamerica.com and taking a look at that book if they have any interest in that kind of thing. As a young person, I had a morbid curiosity for some reason in serial killers. I had no idea why I was so interested in Bigfoot or serial killers, but that's where I would be when the book fair would come to town. I would be looking at things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole serial killer phenomenon was amazing to me. Would people really do that? I mean, are people like that? I mean, it was so otherworldly to me. And when you consider how these people, are programmed and trained, for lack of a better term, anybody that's followed the Bourne series, I don't watch movies, but if, you know, when I did, you know, the Bourne supremacy, these types of, high level assets, when they come out and talk, I mean, it's a significant thing. So every time something significant would happen, back to that, to answer your question, it all perfectly correlated as a convenience. And not only that, but the budget, actually, how much it all cost, actually dovetails perfectly, according to Dave and his research, wow, with the military effort that was happening in the hot war in Eastern Asia. So again, I cannot speak with any real intellectual, depth to that topic, but that is what he's getting at with this wagging the moon doggy. That's the distraction. Lots of lives were being killed. Lots of things were happening. A lot of tests were being, I believe personally, were being developed, and that was just a theater that they used to dial in a few things technologically. And all aside from the just absurdity of what was happening, of the technicalities of the whole moon thing as it existed then compared to today's program, it's just laughable. And he does a great job at bringing that discrepancy out.
Yeah, one of the very fascinating things that you just kind of triggered me here, because I just got off the phone with Super Soldier, and the cat is outside. I'm very sorry. They do not want this broadcast to happen. They've sent their best assassin. Is the paradox that you're painting here is that it was to cover up, you know, that what if there was actually the introduction of the underground black government that we're now talking about, the deep state, you know, that we're dealing with. And I'd like to also welcome Crystal Christley and Adam Starsheed Bay and Justin Kenslier here. And Mark says he was too stoned during Vietnam to believe any of this stuff. He was in Vietnam. Wow. I got to interview you, man. Welcome, Greg and Aaron. Anyway, just wanted to let you guys know you're welcome to comment, say anything, ask anything. But what, like, thinking about the moon being completely a hoax, I'm not really on that. I haven't gone that far, you know. But I do see what you're saying. Like, it's coming together into a connecting point. Like, it's all merging, like the deep state, you know, covering up for all the corruption, the shipping, the drugs, you know, and the human trafficking, the corruption of the war, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it just seems to all kind of be connecting now. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely true. I think that there are a lot of ancillary avenues that opened up as a result of that larger, as Dave points out in the early part of the work, largely a benign conspiracy. It really, it wasn't like, say, the Kennedy assassination, where a man actually was killed. Mm-hmm. It really is, in terms of that, as Dave aptly points out, a benign conspiracy. But what it hides is astounding, and it really is a large thing. I mean, they did Operation Fishbowl as a result of all of this, where they were detonating high level. They were trying to break through the firmament, some say.
Yes.
They were really trying to do some things that only God knows what they were really trying to do, mm-hmm. Because apparently we were very easy to fool with television. So, you know, they would like for the general public to believe that in 1969, with 1969 technology, which was still 5 years in front of the pocket calculator technology, that we cruised up to the moon, 239,000 miles away, supposedly, allegedly. And and parked a spacecraft on it and popped right off of it, displaced no soil underneath it whatsoever. All kinds of technical things that that cannot be rationalized away. I mean, even NASA's own, you know, cartoon imagery promoting the event shows, you know, a lot more of a cataclysmic event occurring in terms of rocketry than what happened on the surface of the moon. But again, the American mentality at the time was such that it was very ready, apparently, for that kind of hope, whatever hope that brought. I wasn't necessarily around then. I was, like I said, born in 70. I came up right after that, but I was definitely born and went through the wake of all of that. I've been seeing all of this propaganda all of my life. And as Dave points out, none of that is actual real footage. The real footage is gone. Nobody's ever seen the real footage. It's all been, it really is all trusting of a large system and organization that apparently, you know, specializes in sleight of hand. So, again,
one of the questions that when I was listening to you, just to butt in really quick, like one of the questions that I always have is, what about all the other countries that go there, and why don't they ever say anything, like India, well, China, Japan?
Once again, we're trusting that this tightly formed group of individuals and power players that really decide what people think is happening, I really trust that. In my older age, I don't trust that anymore. I don't trust necessarily my eyes and what I'm seeing through their apparatus anymore. In fact, I'm distrusting of it before I'm trusting of it. So for them, I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of faith going on in that world. I'm not going to get out on the limb and say they have a lot to prove. They could be right. But again, we're believing compositories. As a photographer and one who has created a lot of, who knows the beauty and the art of photography is creating a photograph, not just capturing it. It's not beyond the pale at all for my mind to, and these people admit it. They tell you there's not one real photograph of the moon. They're all composites. And that's not a myth. It's trusting one way or the other. I tend to trust in the other direction. I feel like that there's no ulterior motive on the other, except to just consider the fact that what we have been taught is, in large part, a deception. Why? What would be the motivation for that? That would be the larger question for each one to ask themselves. Why would they do something like this? What does that really mean, or what would that really do?
I would like to address this whole issue of, like, okay, look at the timeline of when this was happening. There's like this Cold War thing going on between Russia. We're causing a lot of fear and panic, you know, among the populace of both countries, Russia and America. And then we've got this arms race, right? And I truly believe, like, okay, to develop rockets that could deliver nuclear devices over to another country, interballistic missiles. This is a nuclear arms race. This is what the whole moon fiasco, you know, kind of set up was, like, okay, let's get some rockets to be able to do this and test them and stuff. I mean, once it became maybe evident that they couldn't do this on the moon, I think in 1962, well, I know in 1962, in the summer of 1962, they sent up a large hydrogen bomb, like how many miles, miles high, like 250 miles high, to try to blow a hole in the Van Allen belts.
Didn't do any harm. That didn't do any harm, did it?
What could possibly go wrong? You know?
Yeah, it's a 1,000 miles thick of high radiation that astronauts would have to go out. And this is why people are like, has anybody ever left low Earth orbit? And I'm of the firm belief that no, we haven't. And that
And before reading this piece, I hadn't really considered that at all. It was a larger issue of, is it a hoax, deception, all these other things. But then when you start looking at the fact that listen to all the astronaut testimony that Dave brings to the table, of them commenting that maybe by 2050, maybe by 2040 or 50, or I can't remember what the years were, that we can, you know, finally get out of low Earth orbit. Mm-hmm. All of these high level people making these comments, we just never have been out of low Earth orbit. And I don't think we're not intended to be and are never going to be.
Yes.
That's my personal take on it. I don't know where Dave stood necessarily. Certainly, he points to the fact that, you know, that the smart money is on the Russian technology. If a person believes that any of this is actually happening, again, there's a lot to trust if a person really is going to believe that that really transpired that way. But if it's true, then the Russians smoked us. I mean, they were in front of us in every category by far, by leaps and bounds. Huh. And they did everything before the United States. There are things that they've done the United States hasn't even thought about doing. In fact, it was all dropped as soon as the Vietnam War was dropped. And something happened in that time period where the notion of war changed, everything changed, all the things that you were mentioning earlier, the arms race, all of the ancillary things that were occurring on the military and economic scale were basically amounting to a directed form of terrorism, a weaponized terrorism that was happening in the eyes of mostly Americans. They were the ones that I grew up watching. Every movie I saw had a bad German in it or a bad Russian in it. And the propaganda was obviously, you know, thick. And they wanted us to believe these things. And I believed them, no doubt. I mean, that's what's so interesting to me about it now is that I fell for that stuff and I didn't know what I was doing. I was just an idiot. Not paying attention.
One aspect I'd like to bring up with that, you know, like this whole causing an entire nations to fear, like a worldwide panic mode kind of thing, people doing drills and hiding under their desks and teaching the kids all this fear. You know, I'd like to take it into the spiritual aspect. What feeds on fear but the kingdom of darkness, you know, and the enemy? And maybe this whole thing is an elaborate scheme, and who is CIA or the government taking orders from, and like in the spirit realm type of a deal? Do you have any comment on that?
Well, you know, I consider Psalm 2. You know, the Lord sits in the heaven and laughs at these things. He's laughing at their attempts to do what they do, and the spiritual aspect of this is the key. That's the whole point of it, in my opinion. I don't know that Dave would have agreed with something like that, but Dave didn't necessarily come at this or did not come at this from a scriptural point of view. Basically everything I do narrowly goes through scripture now. Mm-hmm. And I look at this and it supports, it supports my biblical worldview. It fits right in nicely with the level of deception that would occur. And God himself said, I will send strong delusion that you will believe the lie. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are things that there are lessons that we all have to learn, no doubt. But having a willful ignorance, is another story. And the willful ignorance that is at play today, and the arrogance that goes with it, to me is striking. I mean, I'm not going to be dogmatic and say it's an absolute sign of the times, but I do believe that it is. And I'm not going to say that the time is drawing near. The scripture warns against folks who make those types of statements. There's always time to come to our senses and to begin accepting the truth, beginning with who and what Jesus Christ is, what he actually came to do, which is a massive misunderstanding, and to move forward in truth. Yes, absolutely. Move forward with all of you. If we can't understand, I mean, it really is a building block situation. There's no way I could have learned this at any other time. It had to be the way that it was. You know, other things had to happen first, or I wasn't prepared for any of it. So again, I used to scoff at these things, but you know, now it's interesting and fun to look at, and my kids love to look at it. You know, it's awesome. So we have family members that kind of scratch their head and go, why? You know, it just seems complicated. You know, it's like, no, I can see where you would think that. But
for me,
you know, hopefully at some point.
For me, it was like a really, really highly entertaining, you know. Well, I got intrigued by this by your presentation of Wagging the Moondog, and you read it so well and gracefully. I loved it. Didn't get through all of them because there's like, what, 9 or 10 or something. And now, can you tell me where those are hosted really quick? And I'll get back to my point.
Yes, they're over on my website, puregracepodcast.com. If there's a tab called Miscellaneous Interest, it will not be in the general populate, you know, the general feed area, but it's under a a fly out or a fly out called Miscellaneous Interest. You'll see Wagging the Moondoggy and the Lincoln Assassination in there, which are both complete series of audios of Dave's articles put up there by permission of his daughter. But that's where they can be or they can be located over on the Fringe Radio Network podcast feed. They go up over there and on my own Pure Grace podcast feed as well. So anybody can find it anywhere there. It's all free of charge and there for your enjoyment. I found anything that I find just too interesting, I can't help but share it. So many other things have come up that I would like to share, and hopefully I can get them up there in due time, along with the other things that I'd like to get back moving with as well. So looking forward to jumping back into the podcast and full stream in the days and months to come. So
good. And we're glad to be partnered with you in this venture. I love that it's called Pure Grace. PureGracePodcast.com is where people can check it out, listeners. So check that out. And maybe there's a donate button over there for Mark Morrow and his work, and just to reward him for his time. That would be awesome, too. I just like to bring up, when I was researching it, I was going back and forth. Did we or didn't we? Didn't we or didn't we? Because there's a lot of mockers out there, you know? Like even this guy, what's his name? Yeah. With Adam Ruins Everything. You know, he takes one photograph and then like just, you know, just goes off on it like and just makes a mockery of anybody who would believe that, you know, that it was faked. And all these other mockery things, they're just like, ooh, I don't want to be on the wrong side of this. I'll get made fun of. Oh, don't go public with that. You know, like the world is bullying us into embracing the truth or actually taking a serious look at it, you know? Through mockery, through ignorance and arrogance, as you mentioned, you know,
that's usually what the other, regardless of what the topic is, that's usually what the other side, all they can really do is point a finger, name call, get sharp. And I have a long background. I know what I'm talking about there. I mean, I used to do stuff like that, but that's really all that a person can do. Anytime I see that kind of thing, I just remove myself from the equation. I know it's just a matter of time. Hopefully the other person can come to their senses, that's the first, you know, that's an easy one for, you know, for folks that really don't know what they're talking about. They've not looked into it. I know I used to have that same reaction. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I don't, when it gets too personal, I just jump off. There's too many, life is too short, to argue, but for, you know, to get too wrapped around the axle, as it were, you know, in a certain conversation with certain people. But looking, you know, again, the photographs, to me, a lot of the photographs speak for themselves. They're demonstrably false. They're, you know, there's just no conversation in it at all, especially when we're talking about the light source that we're talking about on with the moon, if it really is what it is. And Dave is very apt to point these things out. I cannot recommend people enough to go check this series out, either read it for yourself or listen to my audio if you care to. And read the article along with it. If you don't want to just read it yourself, but it's there again, too many other things are involved in the equation. And again, he doesn't get bogged down in the shadows or any of these other things. When you really look at the real motivation and what it was really hiding, in terms of what was happening in the mindset of the American population, this seemed to be aimed specifically at the American middle class. I don't know why, but like, apparently that's who it was aimed at. Those are the ones that really firmly hold on to it to this day. But it's fun to talk to people about this. Older people have friends that talk to their, you know, who have begun to adopt the same curiosities, could it be, and engage their friends and family and get into some interesting conversations. If I ever did that with an older person, I would do it as respectfully as I could. But once again, usually the ridicule and the name calling things, doesn't matter what it is. That's usually what the other side will do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as the scripture says, you know, a fool speaks about a matter before considering it. Mm-hmm.
My favorite is the guy that does the I was mentioning that documentary called Something Funny Happened on the Way to the Moon, which is actually a pretty good documentary. Goes through all the science and how it would be impossible to pass through the Van Allen radiation belt and all this stuff, and he goes up to the astronauts, the main guy, I forget what was his name again, and he's got this Bible. and he just like runs up to the astronauts, Buzz Aldrin. He's like, swear on the Bible if we went to the moon, swear on the Bible. And you're just so like irritated with this guy. Like Buzz Aldrin finally punches him and you're almost happy. But at the same time, you're like, you know, because the mocking, you know, and we're experiencing
and that type of thing is done intentionally. And I'm sorry to interrupt you to discredit the, you know, any potential truth that could be, you know, that could be gleaned from the topic. That's naturally.
Do you think that documentary was kind of planted to make moon doubters kind of look dumb?
Right. Right. No, I won't cast any direct dispersion, but that risk is always to be run with that. And I would you know, caution anyone out there, whatever they're taking in, to do it with that grain of salt and to be able to scan as much as you can out of body language and anything else to see, you know, this is obviously not helping. This is hurting. And, you know, Dave is apt to make that point as well, how, you know, it's really designed to create that kind of a controversy. But you know,
exactly.
there are some interests when it comes, and that's sad. That shouldn't happen. Well, but when it comes to the actual technicalities of, he's like, you know, are you serious? I mean, his sense of humor really comes through the article nicely because, you know, he's like, can't you just, you know, what do you mean we can't go back? As we were saying earlier, you know, we were able to go up there with our arms hanging out the window in 1969. But now it's like every conceivable obstacle is insurmountable. And how did that happen? I thought our technology improved. And don't you just have any of that Mylar laying around somewhere that you can just, you know, it's just hilarious how he approaches it. And, you know, I'm looking at a photograph right now of the landing pod sitting right on the ground. And no earth has been displaced. There's not one piece of dust on this thing. It's solid gold looking with just glittering in the light. And shadows are going everywhere. It's crazy. The shadows could actually work. But again, the ground, when you see that there's no displacement, and yet every step that the astronauts take, you know, it's like they're standing in pure talcum powder consistency.
Painful.
Yeah, it's like, you got to be kidding me, man. I mean,
and it's the same government, you know, it's the same government that releases these pictures of ISIS hostages, so-called, that are about to be beheaded with the light, with like the two light sources.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, what's up with that, man? What are you guys doing here?
It's amazing. You know, the folks, a lot of the folks that I come into contact with in daily life, you know, they really believe that that's the case. And I don't know what is the case necessarily, but I do know that there's an agenda. Once again, it goes back now some time. I believe this was all part of that weaponized distraction that was designed to to terrorize Americans and get them into a fearful state, I guess. Naturally.
Yeah.
Yes, and giving up lots of, you know, freedoms in exchange for peace and security and safety. And again, I don't want to harp on that, but, you know, that is what the scripture says, is that peace and safety and then sudden destruction. So everything is headed towards, obviously, a creation of a monster that's designed to scare folks and chase them into a particular mindset. And Dave's very apt to point that out. And not only that, but that's in the scripture as well. So, I mean, that's all, you know, it's all stuff that we should be fine with that.
Yeah, I really do believe that 50 years ago, 1967, you know, there was a surge of the kingdom of darkness, but at the same time, there's also a surge of the kingdom of light and of Jesus Christ. You know, you had the Jesus people movement going on, which, of course, the devil then tried to twist and, you know, introduce the sexual deviations into that and pervert that, you know. It's just like, and then what happened then with the Vietnam? I mean, over 3 million Vietnamese were just slaughtered, and over 60,000 American troops during that bloodbath. Like that was just a trumped up, like, you know, it was the whole reason for the war was faked too, to get us into that. Yeah. I mean, who are they taking orders from? But Satan or some, like, you know, I'm thinking, like, I mean, like, there's a cultist, you know, powers that be giving sway to demonic influences and direction. And who's barking these orders for all this slaughter and fear? You know,
Without question. And and incidentally, after this, you have the rise of the serial killer movement, and which again, as we were discussing earlier, which is kind of a direct offshoot of the CIA Phoenix program, and which was basically, for folks that aren't aware, these are Delta Force commandos. These are high level, highly trained, highly skilled assets that would go in ahead of time to villages and seek out the ruler or the leader or the prominent individual and his family in that society, and they would very gruesomely and publicly kill them and display their bodies in such ways that would instill a sense of terror. But it didn't work. Those people fought. They fought for their lives. They obviously were cornered, and they knew they were, by a monstrous power. It seemed like an unending power source for the troops that just kept coming, and the helicopters that just kept coming, and the bombs that just kept coming. And, yes. We talk about terrorism. I mean, I feel for those people.
That's terrorism.
I feel for those people. That is terrorism. Yes. And the people that were being commanded to do it. There were generals and high level military officials that were making sure that you didn't leave the front lines unless you did what you needed to do. So these guys were between a rock and a hard place, man. They were, they were on Jacob's ladder and all kinds of crazy, chemical concoctions and tests and all these things that were going on. It's sad what actually was really going on there, and the tests that were I feel for a lot of those folks. They had no idea, and they were, they died and are still dying, very slow deaths with some of the vaccinations and diseases and things that they were tested, tested with. Exactly. And it's sad. And for the receiving end, and so you have that movement as well. And again, the serial killer movement, the people like the John Wayne Gacy, these people are all photographed with like high level politicians. Jeffrey Dahmer, was famed for being able to make a phone call. He was on a field trip to the D.C. area, and he said he bragged that he could make one phone call and have an audience with the vice president, and did so. Made a phone call, and they were all in the vice president's office. Mm-hmm. These people all have contacts that the average individual don't have. And to kind of build on what you were saying earlier in terms of the spiritual movement, that also, we began to see the rise of the televangelist, of a false form of Christianity that was being just, all kinds of resources were being developed to basically haze the American mind, or any mind.
Yeah, inoculate.
That would listen. Exactly.
Inoculate.
And basically poor people and black people and they were preyed upon by a lot of these individuals, and not just black, I mean lots of people. But in my own personal walk of life, it seemed to be particularly aimed at those groups of people. And I eventually was led out of that particular arena, thankfully, and into a more accurate understanding of the truth of the gospel. And so,
absolutely.
But that said, that was a whole nother ballgame that was occurring, that was designed to intentionally water down and desensitize and sensationalize, frankly. And really, a lot of those things couldn't be further from the truth. And a lot of folks point to that as the church, and whether it's the Catholic, the extreme one end, or the evangelical on the other, the extreme, the actual truth of the matter is easily just is, it doesn't matter. It just gets flooded out in all of the noise. So, trying to convince people that that's not real Christianity is half the battle. I have a intentional narrow point of view on those things now in terms of scripture. I discount anything that I've ever learned in that world. And I intentionally cling to what the scripture says. And what
Absolutely.
The scripture says is that moon and that sun are going to see extensive damage in times to come. They are real. They are very much what they are. They are very much lights and parts of intricate systems and designs that are very much indicative of a loving God who has a custom design at play, to me, in my estimation. That's what I believe about those things now. But of course, that's what the scriptures say.
Absolutely.
And I believe it's in a partially destroyed state since the flood. There are things that I certainly wouldn't be dogmatic about and don't fully understand, but there are things that seem to be visually evident that we can just kind of speculate on. I can assure you that with the cheap optics that I have, some of the cheaper optics that I have for my camera, that the moon is not 239,000 miles away. I can, I don't know how far it is. I don't really care. It really is amazing. I mean, how easily we have believed them, and hats off in that. But again, it's almost like we have a godly assistance to believe those things. He said, that I will send strong delusion. You will believe the lie. Those who don't intentionally engage their faculties are going to be destined to have them used against them. That's just that easy.
Yeah.
So we have to be driving, not riding along in the passenger seat of our own lives. And he does expect that to happen.
Yes.
So unless, of course, he's driving, then we need to take our hands off the wheel. But at that point...
Yeah. I've always believed too that people are deceived because they want to be, and if we draw near to Jesus, who is the truth, who said, anyone who's on the side of truth listens to me, Jesus said,
right.
Who is right. the way, the truth and the life, Jesus, is the truth.
Yeah.
And he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I mean, if you have no love for the truth, Jesus, then you're bound to believe all manner of lies. It doesn't even matter at that point. You're like not in relationship with Mr. Truth himself,
I mean, yeah. How does that compete with Hollywood and the visuals that have been placed before our brain and they're now ingrained in the human psyche? I mean, that's the prevalent thing. That's it's so it's easy to apparently push out what small amount of truth we are right when we're not aware.
Yeah.
When we get older and we come to understand these things, we begin to push back and provide resistance against the potential evils in the world. Once we become sensitive to these things and have experienced some level of pain as a result of them, and some empathy and compassion for our fellow man who is also enduring a certain amount of pain, whether they realize it or not, it's certainly happening. And it's just a matter of time before it really hits mm-hmm. where it hurts mm-hmm. every individual.
Mm-hmm.
There really is a lot at stake, and it's in our best interest to not scoff, to be ready in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. If it's all a big avoiding of a calamity, then we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be left with an empty feeling because there is no escape.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks need to know that there's great hope and there is great concern, and nobody wants to hurt anybody here, especially God to man. But there is an end to the patience. There is an end, as mm-hmm. those of us that are parents that have children understand, there is an end to the patience eventually, and it's time to move on.
Yes, there is a flood of destruction coming. And Jesus mm-hmm. is the ark into which we go and are saved.
That is precisely it. That is the best way. That is a way that I like to personally frame that, as the ark was to Noah. Jesus will be an aerial ark. I don't know what that means, but apparently that's what Paul's trying to describe in Thessalonians. if what Paul is describing there in 2 Thessalonians, or maybe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 there of the quote-unquote rapture, he's depicting a midpoint, as it were, of safety when it hits the fan. So I don't know what that really means.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're going from the moon to healing. It's an interesting, like, inner healing and interpersonal relations, because in a lot of ways, a lot of what the witches are doing, they channel energies from the stars, and we're going to actually interview some New Age astrologers in a way. We want to take back the stars because we don't want to give them all to them. But it's amazing that Jesus comes to work with the inner man. But then the Bible does have a lot to say about the moon, the sun, and the stars. We had Adam just said,
as far as
thought
signs,
that there was nothing about the moon in the Bible. And then he checked it out. Wait, no, yeah, the moon is all over the book. It's just to me, like, just to bring it to also to a physical standpoint again, like, there's a lot of people out there with telescopes that see a lot of weird UFOs floating all over the moon. And I've seen hundreds of these videos, and I'm a firm believer in there being UFOs and there being some type of beings, you know, whether they're from under the earth or what, they're around and they're demonic, and some of them are probably okay. But what do you think about the idea that maybe the moon landings were fake, but then perhaps there was also some technology that allowed some kind of a dark government, black government with a bunch of Nazi crap that they took, and, you know, like all the evidence for the anti-gravitic technology that the Nazi Bell, for instance, that they managed to create.
You know, I don't particularly.
Maybe they went to the moon with other stuff. You know, what do you think about that?
I don't particularly subscribe to those points of view. I wondered about them. I was curious about them along the way, without question. Probably, I guess, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, when I was really into what Bill Cooper had to say about these issues. I don't know if you guys are familiar with William Cooper, but he had a prolific conspiracy background, and I spent a lot of time at Area 51 and would assure you, yes, you know, UFOs are real. Mm-hmm. They do exist, and I've seen them. I have filmed them. I have photographs of them. Wow. But I can also tell you that they're manned by human beings. Mm-hmm. They are not manned by little alien creatures. They, you know, I don't describe one way or the other in that, but it's interesting to listen to these points of view. And usually he's talking to somebody that does believe, that really wants to believe, you know, that there's that there's aliens. And yeah, you had mentioned that earlier. I mean, part of us just want to believe that this is true for some reason. And I do believe that there are fallen entities. There are quote unquote aliens. I don't refer to them as aliens. I refer to them as demons, as you do as well, and fallen spirit issues. The only problem I'm not clear on is, where are they right now? Are they currently chained? I've not spent a lot of my adult life studying demons. You know, I heard J. Vernon McGee make a statement one time that he was told by an older preacher that he was friends with, that the time is coming when men won't want to hear about Christ. They'll want to hear about Antichrist, and their interest and their focus will become on all things Antichrist. And it always rattles around in my brain, and I want to be very careful not to do that. Mm-hmm. There is a like I said, a morbid curiosity that I have with these things, as I'm sure everybody does. Yes. You know, and I would let myself believe lots of crazy things at first, like, oh man, really? Because in that time period when I was 6 or 7 years ago, I spent a lot of time looking at I even made a little video and put it out called Project UFO. It's not out there anymore. I took it down because it's basically a culmination of lots of clips that were inspiring to me that culminated with one of my favorites out there, which is of IDE Thomas, which is a Welsh gentleman who wrote the book The Omega Conspiracy, where he very eloquently lays out his case that all of the early church fathers all interpreted the Genesis 6 record that we're all familiar with about the sons of God saw the daughters of men, found them fair, took them wives. Giants were men of great men of renown were in the land in those days. You know, he was of the opinion that these were that word angels or the sons of God is B'nai Elohim, which is always interpreted as angels in the Bible, never as men. Say the good sons of Seth versus the wicked daughters of Cain. But that whole Nephilim thing, which I don't really spend much time looking at all, but he does make the case that something strange is occurring in the spiritual world, and where Satan is trying to develop, you know, a final or omega assault, as he would put it, on the human race to deceive mankind and draw attention to Satan and away from the glory and honor that is due to God in Christ. But as he is very apt to mention, we all know how it ends. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of his son and the Christ. And that's good news. It should be good. It should be good news to anyone, frankly. Good triumphs over evil, even though there's a lot more going on than that. There definitely is a spiritual battle, and we can see it at play in Daniel as well, when Daniel is kind of been given a picture of what's happening at the end, and there was nothing he could do. Seal it up, Daniel. Nothing you can do. It's for an appointed time. Mm-hmm. But consider yourself blessed for having seen and recorded that information for posterity's sake. So, and that's us, and I am very glad to see things like that. And I do see that, he was praying, and the angels, or Gabriel, said he commended him on his praying, and that he continued in prayer as if he were moving cosmic chess players on a table, not to be legalistic about it, but apparently, his communication had great impact in the spiritual world, the fact that he was praying, and he was commended for continuing in that prayer for that reason, because it took some time. So there's something for us to learn there and to be gleaned there. Again, not to be dogmatic or legalistic about it. We're the responders, not the initiators. All we can do is be ready once again, in season and out of season, to give responses for the hope that's in us.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to bring up too, as far as this adventure, I spent like 2 weeks of just like, researching the whole conspiracy theory about the moon landing, and going back and forth. Finally, I'm like, no, you know what? I made a list here, the pros and cons, and what definitely wins out in my mind, of course, is the fact that we never went to the moon. And then I find this video that says NASA admits we never went to the moon. Put out by Better Mankind on YouTube. And I was like, it had a lot of strong, powerful points. And I'm just like, if anybody has any doubt, just visit that. Because they're admitting it. They're like saying, yeah, we're developing technologies to get us through the Van Allen belts, this 1,000-mile thick of high radiation. You know, what was a real clincher for me, too, was how did they get off the surface of the moon? And they expect us to believe this. Okay, if you watch the video, who's manning the video to pan with the craft as it's going off the surface? And it's like you see a little tiny sparks go, psh, and then it goes off, lifts off so slowly, as from what you'd expect. And then they expect us to believe that this craft gets off the surface of the moon, and then joins up with something that's orbiting at 6,000 miles per hour, whatever it is, to connect back with that to make the return trip. It's ludicrous. Anybody who gives this any kind of thought whatsoever will come to the conclusion, no, we never went to the moon. And the what I'm most interested in is, like, why was this huge lie sold to us? Well, first of all, there's like a $40 billion price tag on this nuclear arms race. I mean, what is the Satan interested in doing but obliterating human life from the planet? Nuclear arms race, getting this whole Cold War thing, fever pitch going. Who's barking? I sincerely believe that the occultist, people are in government, listening to, orders from the Satan himself. Like he's trying to run the show here. And we are the resistance, those who are embracing the truth of Jesus and realizing, okay, there's life in him, and there's, a future and a hope to be had in him.
Amen. That makes me think about the next thing is going to be AI. Like, everybody's saying AI is going to be the next extinction of the human race. Like, maybe that'll be, after terrorism, after all this other stuff. Who knows? I mean, there might be some very interesting unforeseen circumstances that we're going to have to navigate in the future.
Yeah.
Well, that's I think that's very accurate. And that really is where a lot of this is going. A lot of this technology points to that. It really is just to get the at least the American mind, if not every mind, around the notion that, okay, there is outer space. We've been there. We've seen it. and take our word for it. And again, I have to point folks to the series, to the Moondoggy series, Wagging the Moondoggy series, yeah, by Dave McGowan over at centerforaninformedamerica.com, or, you know, check it out on my page, however you want to do it, over at Fringe Radio Network. But I think it's in parts either 9, 10, or 11. I've been scanning trying to find it, but I can't find it, where Dave really addresses a lot of the conspiracy theory aspects of this, how the normal accusations that you get from it, and how this can't happen. And he does a great job at dealing with these. I'm not doing a good job at describing it, but I'm trying to scan while I'm reading it. But once again, there's just so many interesting points that he brings, and it's best to go to the website and read along if you do listen, because the photographs are all there that are being referenced. And yeah, I mean, he shows the evolution of the spacesuit, which is amazing. The people that developed the final spacesuit for these guys are the same people that developed, it was the Playtex Corporation that made bras and girdles. And so, mm-hmm, so many aspects of this are just fascinating in terms of the personages involved, and the Operation Fishbowl nuclear testing that went on high up in the skies that polluted, only the Lord knows the damage that yeah, did. Yeah. In that period of time, and and hiding lots of other, like you said, the budgets of these things dovetailing perfectly, lots of strange things going on. It definitely happened. It had a purpose, and according to Dave's work, that purpose was a massive distraction away from what was really happening right here on Earth.
Yes.
That's the joke. That's where the joke is on us, is these guys know that this is hiding stuff that is happening right here on Earth. I mean, every one of these mm-hmm. photos are easily refuted. And whether it's just photographs of astronauts, from the looks on their face, the conditions that they're in, what they're wearing. Again, it's not to disparage any particular individual. That's not the purpose of any of this. His notion is, hey, you know, fly on the wall perspective. If this is true, then what about this? Like, for instance, in the very first one, here you have a quote from Wernher von Braun, who we brought over from in Paperclip, right? You guys are familiar with him. I'm sure the listeners are. Wernher von Braun, from the father of the Apollo space program, writing in Conquest of the Moon. This is the very first thing that you read in Wagging the Moondoggy. It is commonly believed that man will fly directly from Earth to the Moon. But to do this, we would require a vehicle of such gigantic proportions that it would prove an economic impossibility. It would have to develop sufficient speed to penetrate the atmosphere and overcome the Earth's gravity, and having traveled all the way to the moon, it must still have enough fuel to land safely and make the return trip to Earth. Furthermore, in order to give the expedition a margin of safety, we would not use one ship alone, but a minimum of three. Each rocket ship would be taller than the New York's Empire State Building, almost 1/4 mile high, and weigh about 10 times the tonnage of the Queen Mary, some 800,000 tons, uh-huh. Wernher von Braun. So these are the types of things that you run into from the real personages that are really involved. And it seems like all of the footage, and Dave points all this out as well, like in the latter chapters, that it all seems to, all of the footage that came, that all of the things that entered it, that were played for the American mind, came from I cannot remember it now. It's a French. It's a Fritz. Oh, his name leaves me now. Hmm. He was a famous movie maker back in the 30s. And he and Wernher von Braun made these films that depicted rocket ships doing different things or whatever. And this is what, you know, the big dramatic rollout of the rocket ship out of a building, you know, this like 10-minute long sequence of videography that's just painfully and excruciatingly, you know, every inch of a rocket rolling out of a hangar, you know, onto a strip and being taken to a launch pad, and all this dramatic thing. The guy who made the movie Metropolis, I know a lot of people out there, mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, I feel ashamed for not knowing this off the top of my head after having read it.
Yeah, anybody can just Google it.
Yeah, by all means, go look at this stuff. And Dave mentions it. I mean, all of the footage is identical. I mean, again, the things that were put into the American psyche that all had to do with the space program and stuff, it all came from individuals that had high-level military backgrounds, obviously. Once again, so much of it is, at least as far as the individual building blocks that make up a trip to the moon, they're very easy, apparently, to look at and to not debunk, but just raise lots of questions about it. So I'll just leave it at that. But I would point people to the work and let them listen to it. And again, you can listen to it on my site, or you can listen to it over at Fringe Radio Network, or you can just head over to centerforaninformedamerica.com and click on Moondoggy under the Features tab, and you'll see a link to my audio there. To my entire series, they have it over on their site as well. So you can get to it any of those ways. But it really is very entertaining. I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it. It was very refreshingly entertaining.
Yes.
For me personally, because it doesn't get bogged down. And I'm going to prove to you that it's a hoax, man. I'm going to prove to you that this and this and this. It's not that. This is a very down-to-earth approach to it, as if you or I were doing this. And frankly, the guy just gives it away. Okay. This guy gave away this material. Yeah. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, to each their own on that. But, you know, he has some books on his site. But once again, he just was a writer. He was one of the first guys on the internet. He was talking about September 11th on September 11th, 2001. Yes, you ought to look at his blog and look at his September 11th site, his read there. It starts on that day. This guy has been on top of it. And he, you know, but, you know, he had previously written a book entitled, which I have right here, called Understanding the F Word, which is fascism. And he, you know, there's the picture on the cover is telling. And the truths contained therein are very much necessary reading, and or at least some understanding needs to happen there on behalf of those who consider themselves to be Christian conservatives. You know, you really need to consider the political system and how it may be co-opting the individuals that are trying to devour. So, I mean, we ought not give ourselves but so much to certain things, and especially in that world. So that there's a lot that can be said there. So I'll leave it at that. But well, understanding the F word.
Yeah. For all our listeners' sake, we're referencing David McGowan. And his work at, what was there, his website again?
That would be centerforaninformedamerica.com. Yes. All one word. And some people say, oh, well, that's CIA. Well, don't worry about that. just go look at it.
Center for Informed America. And then your podcast is puregracepodcast.com. I just recommend people to go there. And also, I'd like to highlight the fact that my friend and co-host Michael Basham has got a show called Spirit Wars, and it's on the Fringe Radio Network. And also I'd like to mention too, I just launched my own podcast called SozoTalkRadio.com. Actually, that's the website, Sozo Talk Radio, and it centers around the salvation, which is, you know, Sozo is a word for salvation. It's really exploring who Christ is and who we are in Him, our identity in Him, and so I think we're going to probably wrap this up.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, and absolutely, I would encourage folks to go check out both Michael and Daniel's websites and their work and their podcasts. They're great guys, and I appreciate you having me on. You're very generous hosts here, and I under such sketchy topic matter or subject matter, and I hope that folks enjoyed it, and that you'll enjoy the article. And by all means, check out the rest of Dave's work as well. Again, he's got a lot up there for free. You can read it for free, or you can buy the book. You know, I'm one of those guys that end up buying the books when I see that someone gives it to me for free. It's my pleasure to buy something from them for being so generous. And in a world where everybody's trying to sell you something, it's so refreshing and trustworthy to be able to give an ear to someone who's actually trying to just give it to you. So I can't recommend that enough. And I do appreciate it, gentlemen. Thanks again for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
Michael?
Oh, there he is.
All right. Sorry, guys. Little
Are you kidding
there.
Me?
Just had to jump out of the jump outside for a second. Cat is freaking out.
I'm all like, we're closing out our show without the main host here.
No, we're not closing the show. Wait, where are you guys going? We're just getting warmed up.
We're all talking about closing the show.
Actually, I wanted to read some of the comments, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll close
it. I think there's still so much more to share on this topic.
We'll do part two, okay? We'll bring it back to this topic in the future.
We're doing like up to part 12. We got to go all the way in once you start this thing. So,
I think a lot of good comments were made.
Michael, I was just saying I appreciate you guys having me. It was a great interview. You guys are very gracious hosts, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. And I look forward to doing it again sometime soon down the road here.
It was great to meet you, Mark.
Well, let's talk about this cat. There's an emergency outside of this. We're definitely going to do this again, and I really want to just get to the bottom of feeding people. Like, I think the main thing that I agree with you on is the fact that you can get so sucked into this conspiracy stuff, you know, that it just can eat you alive. And then where's the gospel? Like, where is getting in touch with God? And that's the scary thing. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to get all caught up with aliens. We're about to bring in like a whole network of super soldiers and people that they believe they're on like these Martian battles, like literally, like that they get taken in the night and they get brought to Mars and they fight reptilian armies. And then they get put back in their bodies.
Wow.
So we're going to interview a bunch of those people, but then we're going to get this other guy that was a trained assassin. Which that's the thing I really believe in, is that you can get brainwashed and he got healing from that. And he's now reaching out to these super soldier guys. His name's Nathan. He might actually end up being a host with us. But this is not about entertainment. This is about finding the truth and bringing healing, I hope that people go to your podcast and get some real feeding there. So thank you very much, brother. And, Daniel, and I'm going to stay on live for a little bit longer with the YouTube and the Facebook audience that are just loading up with comments here. But
okay.
But thank you, sir. I know you got to go. PureGracePodcast.com. Everybody go and check those out. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it, guys.